So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you. We thank you so much for the word that you give us, Lord God. You blessed us with an amazing, amazing word, Lord God. It's not just a word, Lord. It's not just a book. It's a powerful thing. It's an amazing thing that you've given us because it is Jesus Christ come to us through the Word. He is the Word, the living Word. And even though Jesus is now seated at the right hand of your right hand, we now have this Word to get to know Him, Lord. And we thank you because this Word is special. It's a privilege to have it, Lord God. It's something that I know we've many times taken for granted, Lord. And Father, I pray that you would help this Word to be dear and near to our hearts. And I pray that you would anoint this Word here this morning and anoint Brian as he brings forth the Word and use it powerfully in him, through him, and in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen, Father.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor John, for that beautiful prayer. You know, anybody else excited today? I'm a little bit excited. All right, Elmo's excited. I like that. You know, Ronnie, Mark, Josh, Christian, you know, all week long we prepare for game day. And, you know, sometimes we go through the motions. Like our Thursday practice, we wouldn't even have pads. We'd just go through the motions. But then Friday night came, Friday night lights, and that's game day. So today's game day. I hope you enjoy the sermon today. I've been preparing for quite a while, and I'm excited to be here. Amen?
Amen.
All right. 2 months ago, I was up in the fellowship hall, been coming to the morning prayer with Pastor Don and some others. And I like to walk around when I'm praying. And I'm just walking there. We have several inspirational plaques up on the wall. I'm just sitting, I'm praying one day, I'm walking, and all of a sudden, the plaque that says, "Walk by Faith," it just kind of came out in 3D at me. I was like, "Hey, what the heck's going on?" Like, whoa, it's just standing out. Now, that plaque's been up there a few years. Thank you, Marie, for putting that up. But this day, the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, "That's what I want you to preach on next time Pastor John asks you to come up on a Sunday. Walk by faith." No, God even confirmed that for me. We got a little short video, 30-second video, Gloria, that we're going to play. Dan and I were watching a movie last week, and my buddy Denzel Washington, I love Denzel, he confirmed this topic today. So you want to play that little short clip? It's important what he's going to say.
Walk by faith, not by sight.
What does that mean?
It means that you know something even if you don't know something.
It doesn't
have to make sense. It's faith. It's faith. It's the flower of light in the field of darkness. It's giving you the strength to carry on. You understand?
Is that from
your book? No, it's Johnny Cash, Live at Folsom Prison.
What?
Okay. If you couldn't hear it, once again, apologize for the technical difficulties. Denzel's been given a task by the Lord. It's in the apocalyptic world. There was a nuclear war, and they burned every single Bible on planet Earth except one. So God gave Denzel, his character, this Bible, and he says, "I want you to carry this Bible with me. I want you to walk by faith, not by sight, and you're just going to keep going until I tell you you reach your destination." Carried it for 30 years. So he meets this young lady along the way, and she's following him, and she's like, "What are you doing?" He says, "Why are you doing this?" He goes, "We walk by faith, not by sight." And that comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Our theme for a while in this church, if you've been here a while, for the last couple of years, has been seeing the glory of God and proclaiming the glory of God. And if we don't walk by faith, we're not going to see God's glory, let alone be able to proclaim it. Amen? How many people in here want to please God? Every hand, I hope. Well, I do. You know, I fall short, though. Hebrews 11:6a says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, got to have some faith, brother, sister. But if that's true, and like Pastor John just prayed, thank you for that prayer, God's word is truth, and we know it. So if it's impossible without faith to please God, the opposite must be true. With faith, you can please God. Just show a little faith. Faith in Him. What is faith? I'm glad you asked. Short definition. It's complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Complete trust or confidence in someone or something. You know, God wants us to have that type of faith in Him, that complete trust, that complete confidence. And not in ourselves. You know, Pastor John, he didn't bring me up here because, oh, I'm so wonderful. It's what God's speaking through me. Man, I was nervous. We're always a little nervous before that first hit, right, Ronnie? In Mark 11:22, Jesus tells His disciples this, have faith in God. Have faith in God, not in man, not in yourself. Have faith in God. Even if the election don't turn out how you want, we have faith in God. He knows what He's doing, even though we're going, what's going on here, Lord? What's going on? Hebrews 11:1 says this, now faith is confidence in what we see. I'm sorry, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. God, I don't know how You're going to help me in this situation. I don't know, Lord, but I trust You will. I got faith, God, that You'll help me out. God, I don't feel Your presence, Lord, but I know You're there. Your Word says, You'll never leave me nor forsake me. When we walk by faith, we are confident that God is with us and He's guiding us. Psalm 37:23 says this, the steps of a righteous person are ordained by the Lord. So you may be walking with the Lord and God's speaking to you, you know what, I want you to go this way. I want you to step over this way. Matter of fact, something happened to me this morning. He actually told me to stop and turn around because I asked a brother how his day was going. He's like, eh. So I was like, okay, I hope you have a better day. And I walked away. Hey, God bless, I got to preach. And then the Spirit of God hit me. He says, I want you to stop and turn around. Wait for him to come out of that bathroom. I want you to pray for him. You know, you got to be obedient to what God wants you to do. You got to listen. You know, I like to talk, as you know. But we need to be good listeners. God will give us a faith, but we have to do the walking. He'll guide our steps when we're led by His Holy Spirit, but we must put that faith into action. You can't just sit in your bed all day and say, I have the faith, you know, and not do anything. Remember James 2:26, last time I preached, it said, faith without works is dead. God will give us the faith we need when we walk in obedience to Him, to His Word, to His will. So, it's funny Pastor Don brought up Joshua today. I'm going to talk a little bit about Joshua. And we're going to set up the story. Gloria, we're going to go to Joshua, starting with verse 1 through 5. And I'll set up the story here. Joshua was Moses' right-hand man, if you don't know. When Moses went with the Lord, Joshua took over. So they come up against this great city called Jericho. They had these huge walls all around it. And they had to fight these guys. These were the enemy. They had to fight through them to get to the promised land. So we're going to start here. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 through 5, if you're at home. Hi, Mom. Good. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out. No one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and fighting men. Now march around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up in. Everyone straight in. So Joshua begins to tell his men the plan. See, God gives you a plan. You know, Lord, I have faith. Help my faith. He's going to give you a plan with that. Well, part of that plan, I didn't read it in the story, but part of that plan was when they were doing this walking around the city, they weren't even allowed to speak a word. Okay, so I could imagine Joshua comes up to his fighting men. He says, all right, guys, God gave me a plan. Fred, here's the plan. Okay, we're going to walk around this city. It's about a mile and a quarter. And just once a day for 6 days. Okay. All right. And then on the seventh day, you're going to march around the city 7 times. Okay. Oh, yeah, by the way, don't say a word. Wait, what? I could imagine the grumbling, possibly, from the men amongst themselves before this happened. Like, man, what's he talking about? He didn't want us to speak. Why are we doing this? Can't, you know, God's big. We've seen him part the Red Sea. Can't he just knock these walls down? Yeah, he can. But this was part of his plan. He wanted them to do the walking. So why did God make them do all this walking, you ask? Well, I believe it was to build their faith. You know, the longer we walk with the Lord, the more things we see, the more we trust Him, and the more things we go through, it builds our faith. Let's fast forward to the end of the story, verse 20. It says, when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, so everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. God was victorious. Good story. You know, God wants us to trust Him, put our faith in Him, and then put that faith into action to lead others to Him. Have you ever had that overwhelming feeling in your gut that you're supposed to say something or you're supposed to do something and it's just gnawing at you and you kind of feel like, you know, I think God wants me to say something here in a situation? About 20-some years ago, I had cataract surgery, and after the surgery, a couple weeks go by, and I developed, it was a floater, but it wasn't going away. It was this black dot that kept moving. Every time I moved my head, zoom, this way, zoom, up. It was like, oh my gosh, it was driving me nuts. I was ready to wear an eye patch, you know, just to, yeah. I mean, not kidding. It was bad. So I make an appointment, I get to the doctor, and I go in, and he puts this Terminator-looking thing in my eye to hold the eye open, you know. Felt good, Ronnie. And he says, all right, I'm going to zap this out with a laser. So I put my eye in this thing here, and he goes, I can't do it. He goes, gravity's pulling that dot down in your eye. He says, you move, it's this. It doesn't stay centered. I said, yeah, but every time I move my head, I can see it. He goes, there's nothing I can do. Like, I'm not living with this the rest of my life, I'm thinking. And I said, you know what, Doc? I took a step of faith. I was a young Christian. I go, you mind if I say a little prayer? He goes, by all means, you know. I didn't do like a loud, you know, out loud. I just, a little quiet prayer to myself. I said, Lord, please, you know, I don't want to live with this. Please, Lord. And all of a sudden, I go, okay, I'm ready. I went back in the machine, put my eye there, and he goes, oh my gosh, hold still, hold still. I go, what? He goes, pew, 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 pew. He starts zapping it about 5-6 times with his laser beam. And I was like, all right, you got it, you got it. He goes, yeah, I got it. And I said, and we got that. He goes, I can't believe it. This doctor, medical doctor. And I said, I'm going to tell you what, Doc, I serve a God that part of the Red Sea. He could cause that thing to stand still, defy gravity. And his jaw was like, so praise God for that. You know, a great man said the last time he preached, if you don't step out in faith, then how is God going to use you? Thank you, Eddie, wherever you are. Well, you know what? Stepping out in faith, it can be exciting, but it can be a scary place sometimes. I'm going to pick on my son. He's a bleacher creature up there. I'm going to pick on him a little bit. Remember that old Tiger Stadium? We were bleacher creatures. So Evan calls me up about a week and a half ago. He says, Dad, you're never going to believe what happened at work. I said, well, tell me. He says, because he works for a bank, he says, at lunch, they sent me to another branch that I've never been to. And he says, so I just had to cover their lunch. I said, okay. He says, so I'm in there, and this young lady comes in, and she's all disheveled. She just looks rough, like just the weight of the world was on her shoulders. He says, can I help you, ma'am? And she says, yeah, you know, I'd like to close out my account. He says, all right, you know, I could do that. And so as he's getting ready to close her account, she just starts spilling her guts to him. Has anybody ever had that happen to you? That's the Holy Spirit drawing that person to speak to you, because you have the answer, what they need. So she's spilling her guts to Evan, and she says, yeah, I'm closing this account out. It was a secret account. My husband's been abusing me, physically abusing me for a long time now, and I finally saved up enough money, I'm moving out. And Evan was like, you know, giving her some godly counsel. He says, you have somewhere to go, perhaps your parents? She goes, yeah, but they live up north. He goes, where at? He goes, Grayling. He goes, that's where my mom's from, that area. What a coincidence. So he says, she's getting ready to go, and he goes, you know, can I pray for you? She goes, yeah, the old lady next door, she always says she's praying for me. He goes, no, we're going to pray right now, right in the bank. So he goes, Dad, she put her head down, I put my hand on, eyes closed, we started praying. He says, all of a sudden, when she came out of it, the countenance on her face changed. And she was like, she was filled with hope. And she, as a matter of fact, she even twirled around as she was walking out the store. So he was all pumped up. And I asked him, I said, Evan, I says, as great as she felt, how did that make you feel that God used you to bring joy, faith, hope, all that that's within you to her? He goes, Dad, I'm on cloud nine. I felt great. I go, hey, this is just the beginning. Amen? You know, maybe you've been praying for someone to get saved, and now God wants you to speak to that person. You got to take that step of faith that God will give you the right words at the right time. We're going to turn to Matthew 9, 20 through 22. Story about a woman of great faith. I'll set up the story. I got the shorter version up here. This woman had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. No doctors could heal her. You know, she just spent every last dime she could. She was at her wit's end. Anybody ever been at their wit's end? So Jesus was coming through town. Just a normal day for Jesus. He had to go raise somebody from the dead. You know, So Jesus is walking through the crowds, and there was no social distancing back then. So you could imagine thousands of people and blah, blah, blah. So this woman, she reaches up and touches if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed. It says here, verse 20, so just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him, touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I could just touch his cloak, I'll be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. That faith wasn't in herself. That faith was in Jesus. That faith was in God. Jesus said, your faith in me has healed you. You know, having faith in God helps get us through the hard times in life. Great movie that I saw. It was right when the pandemic first started. My favorite singer is Jeremy Camp. And the movie is I Still Believe. And if you don't know the story, I won't play spoiler there, Marky. But his wife's gravely ill in the hospital, and she whispers over to him, she says, Did you finish that song that you were writing on our honeymoon? Yeah. She says, will you play it for me? It's like, yeah, So he pulls out, he had his guitar there because she loved to hear him sing, just like I do. And he starts strumming on the guitar. He says, I will walk by faith even when I don't see. Because this broken road prepares your will for me. I will walk by faith. I will walk by faith. And that song, Walk by Faith, it was birthed in pain. It was birthed in sorrow. And, you know, it ended up becoming one of the greatest songs that he ever wrote. It was like number one on Billboard charts for a long time. Fact, hard times are going to come our way, church. But how are we going to deal with them when they come? God wants us to put our faith in Him and trust Him in the good times and the bad. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will guide your steps or make your path straight. Romans 12, 3 says this, Apostle Paul, God has given each of us, the believers, a measure of faith. But guess what? We all got a measure of faith as believers, but we need to grow that faith. We need to, you know, it's like spiritual exercise. If you want to get stronger physically, you can't just ask God, God, help me be as strong as Ronnie or Pastor Don or Marky. God's usually going to give you a plan. Amen? Now for me, during the pandemic, I asked Pastor Don, could I sneak over in your basement, keep myself from everybody, and just do some chest? You know, I like the bench. Yeah, Chief, but you're going to squat. I go, I don't want to squat. He goes, you're going to squat. Because he knew it was good for me physically. And God knows what's good for us spiritually. Amen? It's the same way with our faith. The more you exercise that faith, the more you step out, the stronger your faith is going to become. Well, I didn't start off, Pastor John didn't put me up here on a Sunday morning when we walked in this church 22 years ago. I was scared to death the first time I had to teach the junior high kids. In fact, my wife taught before I did. Her and Ed were partners. Me and Jenny were the holdouts. They had more faith. Yes, I was scared. Here are four simple steps to get stronger in your faith. Number one, simple. Get into God's Word. Romans 10, 17 says this, that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. The Scriptures are filled with things that will build your faith. How much God loves you. How He's got a plan for you. Do not be dismayed. Do not be discouraged. I'll be with you. I'm fighting for you. We get into, you know, if you're like me, you have a short memory and you forget. You know, I need that daily reminder. You know, because that flesh wants to take over, like, woe is me, you know. No, get into that Word. Number two, pray and ask God to increase your faith. I love the story of Mark chapter 9. A man comes up to Jesus, and his son was possessed by a demon. He says, hey, Jesus, can you heal my boy? You know, Jesus, if you can heal him. And Jesus goes, if? Wait, what? If? He goes, all things are possible for him who believes or has faith. And the guy was honest. He goes, well, I do have faith. I do believe. Help my unbelief, right? You know, there's going to be times in our life where our faith is going to wane. I'm like, God, where are you? What's going on here? I'm in a storm, Lord. Don't you care? Yes, He cares. Number three, be prepared for God to put you in situations to put your faith into practice. Practice. Are we still talking about practice? Yes, we're still talking about practice. Be prepared. You know, like I said, if you're going to share your faith with someone, know your Word, know a few Scriptures. Pray. Hey, put them on the prayer list. You know, this person won't listen to me. Hey, guys, I need some backup here. Two of my best friends in the secular, not best friends, but good friends, they're both atheists. I'm like, God, really? You put two atheists in my life? But I love them both. I want to see them get saved. Amen? 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Don't beat your friend over the head with the Bible. You need to get saved. It doesn't work. Right, Christy? I didn't do it to her. It was somebody else. Number four, remember what God has done in your past. How He healed your broken marriage. He healed your sickness. He brought you in and He cleaned you up. So I got good things in store for you. I know you're going through an illness right now, but I'm with you. I'm with you. The psalmist in Psalm 77:11 says this, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I'll remember your miracles of long ago. Aren't we all a miracle? Ray, are you a miracle? Better believe it. Donna? Absolutely. Sebastian? Gosh, I remember Sebastian, 7 years old. And Pastor Don had him praying before the service. And here he is, a grown man, bigger than me. God bless you. You know, maybe you are in the midst of a trial right now. Can you look back over your life and remember when God helped you through a time? You know, our lives aren't perfect because we're imperfect people. God's perfect, though, right? He could take the most dire situation and turn it for good. No, we don't know why God allows us to go through some trials. I don't know. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to trust Him. I got one more quick story here. Christy and I, we had a little financial trial years ago, say the least. And, anybody else ever had financial problems? And I remember there was a couple in our church, the Trujillos, a great couple, and their house had just burned down. And that's about 20 years ago. Now, they had insurance, so thank God for that. But Pastor John wanted to take up an offering because they needed some money for food and clothing, you know, some essentials, until that insurance check kicked in. And I looked at Christy, I go, well, we only have enough money for the plane ticket I need to buy to fly my son in, because he used to fly in once a month to visit us. That's another long story. We won't go there. And I said, but I really felt God saying, you know what? That's our brother and sister. I said, we're just going to give in faith, even though it's out of that plane ticket money. It's okay. That's on Sunday. We wrote the check. The very next day, there is a ministry appreciation dinner. And we're sitting at the table, and we're next to Julie Grant, a beloved sister who recently went home to be with the Lord. And Julie asked me, she goes, how's your son? How's Evan doing? I go, he's good, he's good. She goes, well, when are you going to see him next? When are you flying him in? And I'll be honest, in my mind I go, I don't know, because I just gave money yesterday. you know, that flesh. I didn't say it though, Fred. I didn't say it. Right, Kenny? Fifth thought. So I said, I don't know yet. And she goes, well, I had these airline miles that I'd like to give you. I go, miles, what's that? It was all new stuff back then. She goes, yeah, these miles from Northwest Air. I said, okay. She gives me the miles, and lo and behold, with the little money we had left over, had just enough to fly my son in. Amen? What a story. Thanks, Julie. The final scene from the book of Eli, when his mission was over, his 30-year mission, went home to be with the Lord. Denzel's character quotes 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. I love this. He says this prayer and then he comes with this quote. He says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. It's just so powerful, those scriptures right there. And it reminded me, of a young man. And I wasn't sure I was going to share this today, Pastor Don, to be honest with you. But God gave me a couple signs and one big one. You want to put that picture up, Gloria? A couple years back, Pastor Don asked me if I'd do a guest teaching at the Bible release where we had the kids across the street from the high school come in. And I said, yeah, you know, that'd be great because I see those guys all the time when I'm doing the sports announcing. So Pastor Don asked me to come in. So right away I walk in, I recognize some football players, and then I see this big hulking guy, and he had this Green Bay shirt on, and I go, Green Bay? I go, my son's a Packer fan, you know, growing up in Wisconsin. And he come up, and he's like welcoming me, he's thanking me, and he had a real strong speech impediment, so it was hard to understand. So if you knew Austin, you immediately fell in love with the kid. He had that infectious faith. You know, all the kids at school loved him. At the Bible release, we all loved him. And, you know, unfortunately, he had other health issues, you know, but he did have COVID. And he went home just a few weeks ago to be with the Lord. You know, his race was short. And, you know, how awesome is that, that Pastor Don gets his mug, you know? That's not his dad. That's Pastor Don for you, those of you at home. Very good. Pastor John just said he's even on the racetrack. You know, I could imagine Austin. And the funny thing was, I did some discovery about him. He was autistic. He had a tough speech impediment. But when I did some research on him, I read some of his writings. He's very intelligent. Matter of fact, he was going to Wayne State. Better than I ever did. Very intelligent young man. But I could imagine, you know, when the Lord called him home, 18 years old, I could imagine him in front of the Lord saying this, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. And God welcomed him in and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. We don't know how long our race is. Compared to eternity, all our races are short. This is like a teaspoon of water in 10 million oceans this lifetime here. I want to call the prayer team up, please. You know, a funny thing about that picture there, it was from the news. They had it on the news. And this was kind of crazy. You click on it from Click on Detroit, the story, and you got Pastor Don on there with him, the picture. And then halfway through the story is my voice announcing him for Homecoming King. And then at the end of the story, you got Ray saying, Jesus said to be the light of the world. And Austin was that. So they had all three of us on there, which was crazy coincidence. You know? And I think that was just a blessing, you know, because what an impact that young man had. Well, we're going to close here. So I just want to say, you know, where is your faith at today? Is it waning? Are you low? Is your faith tank, you know, riding on fumes like so many times mine has? Remember, we don't put our faith in ourselves, in our own abilities and talents. God gives us those. Those are gifts to use for His glory. We put our faith and trust in Him. So if you need prayer today, come on up. You got some great prayer warriors up here. And if you're at home, God bless you. Stay safe. We love you guys. And if you've never known the Lord, the Bible says today is a day of salvation. Don't put your faith in what you can do. Put your faith in God. Amen. Let's close. All right. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We love you. We thank you for this great day, Lord God. Every day is a great day with you, Lord. We love you so much. And thank you for this church body. Thank you for every person here. I pray your blessing upon them. I pray you increase their faith, Lord God, as they walk out these doors. And Lord, not just for us. We need that faith, Father, to change the world. And for others, Lord, help us to do that. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.